3, 2, 1, eyebrows. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Weekly Wings, a DroneLife.com podcast. I am still Paul Rossi here in North Carolina with fabulous co-host Terry Neff.
Hello, everyone. Hope
how you doing,
having a great day. Doing good. I didn't mean to cut you off there. We're already off to a great start.
Yeah, well, hopefully whether you're riding in the car, on the way to work, at home, whatever you happen to be doing while you're listening, we appreciate you tuning in. We do have another informational-filled podcast. Here, we're going to dive into a featured topic. Really exciting. Involves the stocks, the market, American drone manufacturing companies. Kind of wish I had better foresight, but we'll kind of dive into some
always, that's always how it is. Right. Damn, I wish I knew this 24 hours ago. I mean,
so we'll dive into some recent news involving Donald Trump Jr. and the drone industry, and how Elon Musk may have slightly tipped the scales again. We're going to look at drone racing a little bit, some upcoming event taking place. And the technology side, looking at drone patent put out by Jeep, the automobile manufacturer. I don't think that's the first we've talked about or that we'll be talking about automobile manufacturers looking at how to incorporate drones into their vehicles. We'll touch on some public safety stuff, look at a cool video for marketing of a sporting event, talk a little bit about drone light shows, and wrap things up with public safety, a little success stories and advancements for our law enforcement agencies across the United States. And before we kick things off, Terry actually did lie to you right before we started recording when you asked me about Black Friday. So that is the question I'll ask you first. Get anything good Black Friday? Any deals?
Yeah, I justified buying an OLED TV. So that's what I bought on Black Friday. I think I got it for like $1,200, and I got a pair of earbuds with it. So,
okay, did you get, what is it? They don't make, Lauren and I got one recently, and we were trying to figure out, we had a 70 inch that we had gotten years ago on Black Friday, and it was like a Sony, ended up being a piece of junk. But we had the 70 inch, so we were like, you know, we didn't want to get a smaller TV, but then we started to realize, like, with the OLED TVs, they went in a completely different direction. So I think it's like 65 inches or 75 inches.
Yeah, so I got a 65 inch OLED, which is bigger than my current TV by 15 inches. So it's going to be a nice upgrade, and it's OLED. I've been wanting an OLED for so long. I want to watch Game. I'm going to rewatch Game of Thrones on it, so I can actually like see what's happening in the scenes. But yeah, it's going to be exciting.
It's incredible. Yeah. So we ended up with this 65 inch. So it was like, it was tough going down in the size, but the picture quality.
Can you justify paying another $1,000 for 5 more inches of screen? Cause when you get an OLED TV, it's just like, you go past 65, it's retarded how expensive it gets.
Oh, yeah, the 70, that was the other thing, the price difference. And when we got, I can't remember what it was, we got a really good deal on an LG, 65-inch LG.
That's what I got.
Yeah, yeah, might have the same one.
The C3, last year's version.
Okay, could be what we have. I'll have to look. Follow up on next week's episode. And then I did tell you I didn't get anything Black Friday deal, but what I actually did purchase was some weather stations. So I found another decentralized yeah, similar to the GeoNet. So found another method of getting into this blockchain crypto thing. So these weather stations, there was a pretty big sale for Black Friday. So I did. Good. Yeah.
What was the sale? Is it like we're talking 50% off more?
25% off.
25%. That's not bad. I don't know how much it costs, but
yeah, it was good. It was worth buying. And the thing is the weather stations hopefully will kind of like repay themselves, whereas unfortunately our TVs currently.
Yeah, my OLED's not. I mean, it's going to pay me back with enjoyment, but just add that to the bill.
mine hasn't made any money, my TV, not recently. Well, and so speaking of money, news came out and missed this. Donald Trump Jr. joins the advisory board of Unusual Machines. And this happens last week, and it causes the stock of Unusual Machines to absolutely soar. And it's the strategic move aligns with the efforts to boost this U.S. drone manufacturing. And Donald Trump Jr. might be competing with me for, or maybe I'm competing with him for gray beard hairs.
So I'm looking up the company. The first thing I see is meme stock. that's always a good sign for a company. What do they actually make? Because I'm on their website. I don't see them. I just see their stock ticker and like how much the stock costs.
And so that's right. So this article, right, and what all the articles behind this are, you know, talking about is the need to boost American drone manufacturing, and they're using all of this recent talk, you know, political action as a fuel when it comes to communicating what the you know, potential growth is. And the global drone accessory market is currently valued at $17.5 billion and it's expected to exceed $115 billion by 2032. So that's that's six times market growth in 8 years. That's like insane. So for investors, they're like, oh, that's, you know, crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely going to be like the number one
thing. And so now, in addition to its advisory role, Trump Jr. is also the company's second largest shareholder, holding over 330,000 shares, which the price just skyrocketed. And you're right, because what was the question that you asked?
What do they actually make? And I found the part on their website. It's kind of hidden.
And what do you think they make?
Just like drone parts, like so, like they the small bit I read was they acquired Fat Shark, which I guess makes like FPV products. So that's one of the things they bought. Just kind of seems like a collective manufacturer.
Okay, so they bought Fat Shark. So Fat Shark makes FPV headsets. Rotor Riot. Because I'm unpacking this as I was reading into it and be like, how did I miss this? Right. And you said meme stock. Rotor Riot. They acquired Rotor Riot, which is a direct-to-consumer e-commerce store offering small acrobatic FPV drones and drone equipment.
Okay.
And the company's latest innovation is the Brave F7 flight controller. So this company, Unusual Machines, it's like, hey, they're a drone manufacturer. They're a drone manufacturer. Well, the big things that are brought up is that they acquired Fat Shark, which makes headsets, and then Rotor Riot, which is an e-commerce platform, and they have a flight controller, which is important, right? Like the flight controller being the brains of a drone. So if you're going to manufacture a drone, having one of the best flight controllers is important. But it dives into how also they're using multi-jet fusion 3D printing for its Skylight drone. So it sounds like there is a drone here, the Skylight drone. And when you take a step back and again, look at the big picture, goggles, an e-commerce store that offers small acrobatic FPV drones, like the people that buy on Rotor Riot are FPV, you know, hobbyist
nerds, the elitist specialist.
Specialist. Yeah. Yeah. The word nerd in like the form of intelligent, sophisticated.
Oh. You don't have to pamper the audience.
No, but like a technological understanding. And when you see who their big customers are, cause I've met these folks, you know, these are folks that are in the military. This is just a product that's like very, you do it yourself. You control it. You program it. You break it. You fix it. It's like an Android type of a product. Like a laptop, you build it, you make it, but these things fly, they go fast. And it's like having a motorcycle in a sense. But this, and then having a flight controller for FPV drone applications, this is like military. To me, this has military written on it. Like you're not going to produce a drone for your traditional commercial marketplace, and where is there a lot of money right now?
Military application.
With everything going on.
Well, it's just it you have to realize that this dude's not just going to be buying into some niche market for a select few people that FPV race. He's going to be, he knows something we don't right now. And or he has plans for the company to do something more.
Oh, well, the thing is now it's like, all right, what do you put people on your advisory board for? Because they have network, they have connections, they, you know, who do I talk to? How do you even get involved in like these big contract purchases? And when you see what's happening and what we've even talked about, right? And if you Google drones right now on the Google News, everything is Ukraine, Russia, U.S. drones flying over U.S. military installations. So, yeah, I just don't know.
I mean, my dad's the president is a pretty big connection. That's probably the biggest connection you can have.
It's crazy. And then you're like here we go. So he gets 330,000 of these shares, you know. Now can we see how many has he sold yet? And would this have happened, right, if the election goes a different way? So it's just, that's really, really interesting. And to wrap the meme stock part in here, with Elon Musk tweeting out F-35 builders are idiots and apparently favors drone swarms. And so this video, the Musk tweet was, meanwhile, some idiots are still building manned fighter jets like the F-35. Trash can melting smiley face. And we'll mute that video. But the video that it was along with that tweet, I don't know where these videos are from. Probably like drone light show testing.
I think that's in, I don't know. This video has been circulating for a while. I think that was Chinese drone swarm.
That's
the original like name I seen on it. So
it's super dense. And then this video keeps playing and it shows there's some other, these are all light show specs, but then it goes into basically the light show drone swarms, all this control.
I don't know, I feel like it's kind of comparing like two different products completely, but I guess Elon Musk is going to say what Elon Musk wants to say.
But the November 24th, the timing of this text and then the person joining, like Musk tweets photos of drones, and then Donald Trump Jr. joins the board of unusual. We're
probably talking about it on Thanksgiving dinner, because he was there. So he was like, can you tweet this out real quick? Let's get some people talking about drones, please.
Of unusual machines, which this stock has gone up. But, dude, the crazy thing is look at Red Cat Holdings. Like Red Cat Holdings, public stock, publicly traded stock. Red Cat Holdings manufactures the Teal drone. Last week we talked about Red Cat Holdings.
Dude, they skyrocketed.
In the last week. Mm-hmm. Right? Just in the last 7 days, it's gone up
50%. I think is what, 50%.
And in the last month, it's gone up like 180 or something, hasn't it?
Past month, 284%.
Dude, what in the hell, right? So I'm starting to like be like, all right, we need to pay more attention to what we're talking about.
Buy a little bit of stock of every company we talk about.
And if you go and look up Archer, ARCH, I think, Archer, pilotless air taxi, they're up like 80% in the last month.
20%. They're down 1% though in the last 5 days, but yeah, they're up.
So
it looks like it hit a plateau. Yeah, man, we need to set aside some funds for every company we talk about. Put like $50 in each of them, at least.
Red Cat Holdings and Unusual Machines. I don't know. I mean, so at least the interest is there, right? Because when you look at the volume of shares of Unusual Machines, it went from like
a lot.
Yeah, it was traded like a few 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 in a day. And all of a sudden it was
60 million.
Right. Millions. So the momentum's there. But now, holy hell, I think we know which side of the fence the Trump administration is going to fall on a DJI ban. And you know what, if you think about it, it might be, we're not in financial investors here, but it might be a good time to look at options on some of those
Please
companies.
Please do not listen to us about financial information. Yeah. Make your own decision. We are not liable for you losing your 401k. Thank you.
We are not. And, but it'd be interesting because the market is huge. So if they think that they can build something, it's going to get interesting. And what else is interesting? Drone Racing League and U.S. Air Force Miami Invitational, the world-class pilots set to compete in Miami. So 12 pilots from around the globe will race high-speed drones in Miami's skies on February 1st, 2025 at Lone Depot Park, home of the Miami Marlins. Racing at speeds up to 90 miles an hour.
Oh, well, this will be like a stadium event since it's at the, you said it's at a baseball stadium?
Yeah, it's going to be inside a baseball stadium.
Cool. That'd be a cool thing to go to.
It is presented by the U.S. Air Force. It'll transform the park into an immersive 3D race course complete with lights and music. So fans are going to get to witness elite pilots navigate the aerial course.
It's so funny, dude. The military will do anything to get recruits. This is hilarious. They're like, what do we need? Drone pilots. How do we get it? Let's make drone racing events. They did it with the esports stuff, too. Like, there's like U.S. Air Force, the Counter-Strike teams and LOL teams and all kinds of stuff. Let's get the nerds in there, too.
Chris has over 700 hours of training. We've got Alex FPV, 28 years old out of Tennessee. Amari's 29 out of Texas. 24, 21, 21, 20, 20, 20, 23, 21, 21. And Propsicle coming in at age 18. So clearly, it's a young.
It's a young man's game for sure. It does. There's a good mix of like country. There's a lot of people from Tennessee. Tennessee is the overwhelming factor of these contestants.
Two-time world champ heads up. Two-time world champ and U.S. Air Force team pilot. So the Air Force is putting the tournament on, and it makes sense. Where's the Army?
I'm sure the Army will get on top of this. I think their ad budget's a little more than the Air Force is. So. This is cool, though. I might try to make it out to that. I think February is, maybe I think it's April, actually. I think the UFC has gone April the last 2 years in a row to Miami. We'll see. I'll try to go.
Yeah, I thought I did see it when I was looking through what was coming up. I don't remember the date. But that'd be interesting. I'm sure I just can imagine that because you got like the Air Force putting this on. And as you mentioned, there's probably like, you know, a lot of recruiting funds going into this. There's
definitely
probably a great deal of like computer, like the sponsorships going into it itself, tickets. I don't know. It'd be interesting. I'm sure. I wonder if tickets are probably on sale now.
I think they are.
Terry's checking it out.
They're cheap.
I was going to say
$12. Just pop down there, boys and women, whoever. Just go down there. It's $12. It's pocket change. In this economy, $12 is crazy for tickets for anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It just seems like how many people even know those folks, right? Like the pilots don't even get paid big money, right? I would imagine compared to like a professional athlete, people buy their jersey and know who they are. You're a household name. People are coming out to see what's going on. And on the tech side, we've talked about some car patents. We've talked about drone patents. This one was really, really neat coming in from Motor Authority. Jeep patents drone system as an off-road assistant. And when I read this, I'm just thinking to myself, how is this drone going to like get the car unstuck? Is the drone going to like fly underneath the vehicle and like lift it up, you know, like a floating jack of sorts? Sounds pretty stupid. And then I like started reading, and one possible use Jeep is looking to patent is off-road spotting. So instead of a person getting out of the vehicle to survey the terrain ahead and direct the driver over the appropriate line through obstacles, Jeep proposes deploying a drone from an in-vehicle docking station. So use the drone so you won't get stuck.
So this, when you first brought it up, this makes a ton of sense. Because I haven't been into too many Jeeps, but the ones I have been into, they have like this, like on the dashboard, they have like where you, they have like these, it's like a divot, and they, you can like put a speaker there that you can like take. It's a portable speaker. I think they have like a clock or something, but they have specialized things you can put there that you can customize it. And Jeep is thinking the leagues into the future. They're like, what is our number one thing somebody uses our car for when they go off-roading or like adventuring? We're an adventure vehicle. Oh, they're off-roading. Oh, you know, you go look up any like rock climbing video of a Jeep. There is somebody outside of that Jeep watching and navigating the person to let them know exactly where to turn, how much pressure to put on the gas. There's always somebody watching. So they're like, let's just do it ourselves, you know? Maybe incorporate some AI to help you, you know? The computer can help you go up as smooth as possible.
And like in that tight stuff, you still might have someone get out, but figuring out if you should go left or right, like it's just like military. It's just like, it's spotting ahead. Like how many times you go down and then you got to come back, and you might have a group of people with you. And I've never done this.
Come back.
Right. Yeah. I've never, I've always been a huge fan of Jeeps. But my guess is that someone, because when I think of Jeep, I think that they don't just make cars. They immerse themselves in the adventure. Like they're engineers, yeah. they're not doing it in an office. These folks are riding the mountains. They know where to go. They build Jeeps based on specific trails, right? Like they're named off of that. So they're probably watched over the last 6 years as people started showing up. And they would put their drone up and they would have it in a case and it would be separate and they would hold a remote and they would fly ahead. And they were like, man, someone realized like we should pull a patent on putting the drone. Cause I've always thought of having the drone attached to the police car. So the police is chasing the car. The person stops, they jump out of the car and they start running. Boom. The drone just deploys immediately. And that's like, you know, one off, hard to sell. People aren't just going to, cops don't just buy it. You got to sell it, purchasing process, integrating it into a consumer product that how many people buy Jeeps? How many people would buy this and never even use it? They just would want it to say that they have it. It's like,
is for sure like an add-on. Like, there's no way this is.
But it's like a $3,000, $3,500, $5,000 add-on. You know, it's part of that trail kit with the tow hitch or the winch system that you're never going to use anyway. But you know what would be cool is you could still take this to the beach because they could sell it as not just the look ahead, but like just fun photos.
They need to put a good camera on it.
When you're out at the beach, when you drive onto the beach, you pop the drone up.
Take photos of your Jeep.
Video yourself. It's like, yeah, man, dude, this is wicked.
And then that last like part of the article is interesting where it says it's a security escort. I don't know. That's weird that's like mentioned, right? Like, who needs this? Like, I get on my car. I don't need a drone following me when I get on my car to go, you know. I don't know. That's odd, right? Like, what's the drone going to do? I mean, if I get whooped by a bear, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like, if you need a drone to escort you to where maybe you should just wait to go there or just not. Yeah, that is.
Ultimately, what's it going to do? Call the cops if I'm getting mauled by a grizzly bear? Like, it's not going to do anything.
Or you're like bringing something into a bank. You're like picking something up. I don't know. If you're a security company and you just use regular vehicles, like all you're doing is modifying certain vehicles.
I mean, it'd be cool for like, could you imagine like the bank trucks, you know what I'm talking about, where they go pick up the money or whatever. Could you imagine they have like a drone? Because, you know, there's two of them. It's the double security method. One of them stays in the car always. Then one of them goes out and gets the money. Another one's watching his back or whatever. Wouldn't it be cool if you had a drone that popped out every time somebody got out of the car and just had the 360 camera? Because those dudes get lazy. There was one time I walked up behind the guy. There was just a bag of like 50K just sitting right there, and he was back turned. If I was not overweight, I could have probably got away with that, you know? Like,
well, I wonder if with them filing the patent now, Jeep could like basically, even if they don't use it, they could sell
it,
the patent to that company.
That'd be a good idea. I just gave somebody a good idea.
What's interesting is usually it's like military trickle down. So I don't even think that there's a military vehicle. Like I don't think there is a U.S. military vehicle that even has that sort of technology fully integrated into it yet. So it would be really weird to see that, deployed. But actually it's coming probably soon.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Drones are going to make their way into literally everything. I can't wait until Amazon breaks my iPad that they deliver. That's going to be the next step right there.
What, delivering it?
Yeah, delivering my package and breaking my my phone or whatever I'm getting delivered, just getting smashed.
I don't know. I can see them really like doing a million tests Like,
I don't know. The FedEx drivers get trained, you know, and they just kind of throw my shit around. So,
oh, as long as you get a photo, just throw it on the ground. Just make sure you get the photo. So for the folks on the public safety side of the house that tune in, did just want to take a moment to highlight the public safety drone review, the final monthly episode for the year is taking place December 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And in this year-end episode, Miriam, Tim Martin, and Charles Werner will be discussing just the entire year in review and really highlighting a lot of the success stories that folks have seen all across the country. And, you know, even, you know, give some sort of insight into, you know, what 2025 could bring. So again, that's the public safety drone review. It's on December 3rd at 3 p.m. If you Google that, you'll find a link. You can register. It takes place live. And some other news. This video came out just hours before we are recording this podcast. There is a centennial game. The Boston Bruins will be playing a hockey game coming up, and it's the centennial game. And so what they did is a drone fly in and fly through of TD Garden. So again, FPV drone here. Someone might have been purchasing their kit on Road to Riot. Might even have Fat Shark goggles on. This is epic. I mean, as if you're just listening to the
pilot,
to the audio only, you can just Google Boston Bruins drone video at any point, and on YouTube, Boston Bruins drone video should pop up. And I guess a lot of the folks that are in this video right now that it's flying through, these are former Boston Bruin players.
This reminds me of the Ray Schumer ad or whatever their names are. Was it the Black Beatles, where like everybody's like frozen and the camera like moves around? It was an old trend.
Might not have seen that.
It was a couple of years ago. This is a very nice stadium. You said this is TD?
TD Bank, Boston Celtics, okay. Boston Bruins.
I might have to go here. This is crazy. This is where O'Malley knocked out Aljamain Sterling.
Yes. And so, you know, that video just goes on and on. But it was really neat to see another one of these pop up again. Pilot, I think you can see a couple transitions, like when you go back, because it doesn't say like one take, like right here when it flies.
Well, it's interesting because I was about to say, like, wouldn't he have problems with like reception or like connectivity? Like he's going everywhere through. It's just a big concrete box.
It's really hard to say because the flight could have been done maybe in an analog, which would have given like better range. Choppy video, but been recorded digital. But with the quality and if you put up like repeaters and stuff, there are ways to.
I couldn't imagine doing this in one take though, because you have too many people. Just like there's too much going on. You know, these guys are busy. You know,
flying. you went from outside to the banners to in and out, and then you've got all this coordination because the people are pointing at the painting. You're right in their face.
There's no way this would have ever been done in one take. Ever. This would have been a 15 attempt thing.
Boom. That was pretty epic.
That shot's incredibly hard. Them looking at the trophies on the Megatron. Megatron's a Transformer.
Totally a Transformer. Yeah, I don't know what they call it. The big
Jumbotron.
Jumbotron. So yeah, the hockey. I'm more of a Tampa Bay, more of a Lightning fan, or like Charlotte Hurricanes. So maybe Terry, we can get you signed up to do a fly through at Lenova. It's not PNC Arena anymore. It's Lenova.
I'll be sure to just fly it straight into the first pillar I see, because I would probably suck at FPV.
And so I also saw this Sunday Night Lights halftime drone show has been postponed due to inclement weather. So I guess there was like feet of snow falling in upper New York, upstate New York area, Buffalo. And so the Bills apparently were going to be doing like some, you know, epic drone show, and it was postponed due to the weather. So how unfortunate. Sunday
Night
Lights.
Weather ruins everything up there.
Yeah, Sunday Night Lights, Bills versus the 49ers.
What was the we were talking about a sports team that was supposed to be doing something weekly, right? Where was that at? That was the was it Detroit? Was it the Detroit Lions that said they were doing that? It was a while ago.
Yeah, I think there was a team that said they were doing like a residency. The Mariners, I'm pretty sure the Mariners have been pretty regular on doing some drone shows out there. I think if you talk to the right people and you do enough of them, you can get like them volume, you know, get some good volume pricing. I saw some pretty, I almost had this article of like a bad drone show in Dubai. There's this drone light show, and it even said like record breaking drone show. And it was like a couple hundred drones for the Wicked. Oh, it was 500 drones for the Wicked, the movie, a Wicked event. And it was like in Dubai with the big buildings, and then this like little 500 drones. And the whole background was all the buildings in Dubai, and they were all lit up. So the quality of the imagery, it was just so poor. It was an example of where you actually don't want to do a drone show in the middle of a city. It's better if it's
like fireworks. I mean, you don't want to shoot off your mortars during daylight.
But even fireworks in like a city environment is still has an effect, because the firework doesn't like blend in. But when you're light pick, anyway.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Anyway, speaking of drone shows, so Terry decided to Terry got busy. I'll just say that.
I got busy, and then it's very expensive for what it, you know. I did, on that day, I bought $1,000 TV, so.
There you go.
It was going to be $100 against this.
So you had, and you had many pixels to look at. You kind of, it was kind of like a light show. It was, yes. So the festival in flight holiday drone show took place in Binders. And I will tell you this, Terry, the pricing, definitely for families, what you could have done is just showed up and just stood in the parking lot and you would have seen it. There's a video. I swear to God, there's a video on YouTube that this kid posted, because there was a second drone light show. The second night there was a concert. If you remember me telling you that, this kid showed up, he posted the YouTube video. He recorded the light show from the parking lot and posted the video on YouTube. It was a Brad Paisley concert. And I'm like, dude, standing in the parking lot.
It's going to be so hard to relegate drone light shows to where you can't see them.
Look at, and then this one falls out. Dude, immediately this one goes down. It's going down. And I was like, whoa, that was fast.
Look at the one losing its prop.
That one's spinning. It corrected itself. Dude, this one comes back. This one's trying to come back. It pushes back up, and then it just goes down. And then this one
tries to come back.
Oh yeah, I was trying to come back. And then look at this one. This one's going. Here it goes.
It's like they fell asleep, you know?
Dude, in the first 30 seconds, like three drones went down. And I'm thinking in my head, like, dude, this is not going to be good, right? That was drone number two. And, but then afterwards, everything kind of held up. Oh, see this one right here. Oh. Here goes. And it was like each
it's like
one
a falling star.
Yeah. The first one went, the second one, and then each one went faster. So I'm like, oh boy, what are we in for a real show here? One landed in a bunker, one landed over here. But after that, they all stayed up in the air. And so with the price, Terry, is if you were going just as an individual, just to this light show, it was high priced. But when you're going there with kids, it was like all inclusive. So they had like a little putting. They had glow putting set up. So they gave you a club and glow balls, and you could do putting with your kids. And they had a train, and you know, they had these glow tubes for the kids. So it was more of certainly a family type thing.
Yeah.
And you got your money's worth if your kids were there having fun.
Well, yeah, see, that's the other reason I didn't really want to go, to truthfully.
You want to hang out with
family? I would have to drive an hour and a half. I'm going to be there with my mom. Neither of us like people. Got to pay $50 to be near people, then watch a drone light show, and then drive home another hour and a half. You know, it's not great.
Dude, they did this poinsettia. When they did that poinsettia flower, it literally rotated three to it was epic. Like I realized that this video that I recorded here and posted,
did it no justice.
It doesn't no justice because I zoomed all the way in. And so you want to zoom in, but once you zoom in, it's like, what am I looking at here?
No reference.
It's like you're showing me a shitty movie. Like, what? This is like a low pixel television here. Like, this is like something that, what is this? You know, one of those things kids used to play with, a light bright, you know, where you like stick pegs in.
Yeah.
So to have zoomed out and to have gotten the context, but it doesn't do it justice. They put the Pinehurst thing up at the end, and this was, you know, pretty epic. The little putter boy golfer, 1895.
What was the wind like? Just a question. What was the wind like?
It was calm winds, not
calm winds.
Yeah, okay. Nothing.
Because I wonder what their limits are for drone light shows. Like,
they said rain or shine.
15 miles.
I mean,
you're going to be like,
yeah, they said rain or shine. I think 15 miles an hour is probably top speed for a lot of these drones. They're so small. The thing is like they're made to be small. It's just like a really big light and a battery, and then they try to make it as light and tiny as they can. So it's like super.
I like the galaxy effect. We've seen a few drone light shows do that, like effect right there. I like that.
Yeah, and then they all come back in. It was instead of just the traditional. I mean, it kind of galaxied in and then it layered down, but it was pretty neat. And so I'll tell you this: after seeing 100 drones. And now 200, it's a huge difference. Like, it was a significant difference. The kids were like, you know, our youngest Lincoln was screaming his head off. And as soon as the drones come on, I picked him up and he just stared at the sky. It was like fireworks are just loud and noisy. And, you know, young kids, it's like hit or miss. I mean, kids, when you're 8, 9, 10 and you're running around being crazy, but like little younger kids, and then it doesn't tell a story. You don't really remember it. Like, the kids left 2, 3 years old saying, you know, I saw a train. I saw this. So that visualization. And December 21st. So December 21st, they're doing a 500 drone light show in Winston-Salem.
And how far away is Winston-Salem? You keep trying to give me a drive this way.
Here's the deal, though. It's half price. It's only $20.
Okay.
And it's in a baseball stadium, so you'll have a chair to sit in. You won't have to bring a chair. It's $20. Dude, 500 drones. Like, that's 2.5 times the 200. So I'm I'm pretty stoked.
I'll try my best to go to that one. No promises. We'll see what I'm doing on December 21st.
Dude, you and Terry got it, or you and Terry, you and Samuel.
You and Terry, me and myself.
You and yourself. You and Samuel got to ride out there.
It's on a Saturday. Another thing was I was working Friday. So I would have had to clock out early.
Working? It sounded like you were getting a TV.
Early. That was early. That was a 7 a.m. pal.
Yeah, but drone light shows, I mean, it's not like, you know, I wouldn't pay $40, $45, $50 to go see these every month.
$20 here and there doesn't sound too bad, especially for 500. That, I mean, that, what was that, 250, 200?
200 drones. But 200, again, 500? That was not just the drone. Like, you were paying for other things. It was a family event, train ride, games, all this other stuff. Here at the stadium, it sounds like there's going to be some other things, but it's mainly just you're going for the drone show. I would pay $20 a month to see a drone show. The problem is they're not happening that often. And so the way I see it is when they pop up, you know,
try your best.
Yeah. 100 drones, 200. But the way is at this point is if there's ever a 500 drone light show happening in the area, I'm going to do whatever to make it.
Well, then you're going to see like 300 or 400 or 500 drone light shows. You're like, well, now it's got to be like 1,000 because I'm kind of getting tired of seeing 500, you know? That's how it goes for anything. Your expectations are just going to keep going up. You're not going to be impressed by 500.
Or because if they can take the 500 and just do a better job at presenting it, right? So like the music and then the way that they tell the story. So the movement of the drones, and so it's not necessarily like, I don't know, it could be, but I think there's other ways to take that 500 number and at least for the next few years, find like a balance between, because I can imagine from an operational cost, 100 is, you know, you can easily manage 100, 200, 500. Now it gets to the point where you're like, okay, where are you storing all this? How are you moving all this? Like, is the extra
expensive?
And then setting up more than 500, because just setting all of them up, it's like, is the extra juice worth the squeeze? And I have no idea because I've never ran a drone show.
Well, I looked up how much they cost, and it was like, I think 100 was like 60K, and that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. I'm not even gonna lie to you. 100 for 60K, but there was like sensors and stuff to kind of like keep them in the area they needed to be in. You know?
Oh, you gotta have your laptops. You gotta have your little routers.
It was like a setup, but like it was 60K. You know,
that's just your hardware. Then the software company is gonna hit you for like $10,000-$15,000 a year. $500
subscription a month. Yeah.
Oh yeah, annual too. So couple articles here in closing out this week's episode. We had in I think I got a crazy zoom going here. Redmond police celebrating monumental decision by the FAA to approve drone use on more 911 calls. So we're in Redmond, Washington here in the Redmond Police Department. According to the article, has a lot to be grateful for this Thanksgiving. The FAA granted them a highly sought-after waiver, allowing them to deploy drones on more 911 calls without the use of visual observers. So the article dives into the department covers an area of roughly 30 miles around the SeaTac area. And they will be able to now operate and deploy the drones in a more DFR type response in order to respond to more calls and help support what's happening. You ever been to Washington? You ever been to Seattle?
No, I have not. I've been to DC, but that's on the other side.
And so Brink, I believe it doesn't necessarily say here, but kind of at the bottom of the article says last June, Lowe shared his interest to King 5 about working with Brink. And we talked about Brink here. And so Redmond was piloting drones program with a DJI drone, but they were expecting their Seattle made Brink drone to arrive soon.
Hmm.
So you remember we talked about the Brink responder?
Yeah. So this waiver is like a BV loss waiver?
Beyond visual line of sight. Yeah, beyond visual line of sight. And I'm share this tab instead. So there's that responder drone.
Oh, it's the cool UK looking drone.
Yeah, with the flashing, the red and blue lights. So beyond visual line of sight, using a drone in a box. So using the Brink responder drone in a box with sensors. So, you know, using radar, using ADS-B and remote ID sensors in order to scan the airspace.
I'm glad they got this waiver. I mean, this town doesn't look crazy big.
Well, what's interesting, we didn't mention this and really talk about it, but I'd seen this, I don't even remember, a week or two ago, it goes back to investment and funding and board membership. Apparently, a Brink board member or an investor with Brink Drones had a very close connection with the Las Vegas Police Department. And so this person actually gave the Las Vegas Police Department the money they needed to buy the Brink drone.
Okay.
Make sense?
Oh yeah, I mean, I would be giving away my products to one of the biggest police forces.
But it wasn't giving the product away. It was like, say you own the company and you want a police department to buy your drone.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would be, I mean, it's
and
like
I'm
a
an investor in your Sam's company. Club. And I'm an investor in your company. So what I do is I go to X police department. And I say to X police department, hey, here's the money you need to buy a drone, but you need to go buy the drone from Terry's company. And so now I'm an investor in Terry's company, but they might not know that. And now they, as the Las Vegas, well, X police department, go and buy that drone. And now all of a sudden, Terry's company is using that sale as a huge marketing tool. And yeah. all the while, me in the background was just, you know, making it happen. They didn't go do research, figure out what drone to buy and spend government money. It was just, hey, here's money. Go buy this drone. This is what you have to buy. I mean, that's crazy. And so that news came out just in the past 2 weeks.
Just a quick thought. Have you ever watched Live PD or Cops? You've watched mm-hmm. Cops, but have you watched Live PD? Okay. Oh, it's going to get, dude, they're going to be so, the Live PD Cops, it's going to be much better now that we have drones. Like, you're going to get like a foot chase, and we're just going to have like the top view of the foot chase. It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. There's I mean, they're not all being shared. I'm sure eventually they're going to, you know, years will go by. So whether they're fresh videos or videos that are like 1 to 2 years old and they're out of like the holding period, and especially as more DFR programs start up, yeah, there's going to be some pretty epic, funny videos.
yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great because you're going to see everything. I mean, the camera's going to go up to it first, and they're going to have like a scene play out where they have just an automatic flight route where they can just get both of them.
Well, you're also going to see like I think PTSD and like sort of like when you think of the military, like the sensor
traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, no. like the remote sensor operators, the drone pilots. You know, they sat there and they watched these videos. And so there's going to be the funny, stupid stuff, but there could also potentially be, hey, you're sending a drone. You're a human being behind a computer. Your job is not, you know, that front line. Now, all of a sudden, a drone gets to a site of a 911 call of shots fired or violence. And now, all of a sudden, hey, there's the drone. No one's on site yet, and you're having to watch something unfold. So I think that's an interesting point that we get to in the conversation, is just thinking like, wow, we always go to the positive. And initially it's going to be a lot of that. But once you get to where it's getting there as fast as we want it to, it's either going to video something bad happening, or it's going to have something on it to literally stop the person from doing what they would have.
Yeah. I mean, it's just to be expected. That's just how it is. I mean, 911 operators are going to, they have, I'm sure a few of them have PTSD, if not most of them.
Just based on the audio.
It's just the job, you know. At that point, you just got to expect it. EMS workers, you know, they're not having a great time.
Well, I get that, but it just takes that operator, that phone person's, their exposure level is
it just
tenfold.
Yeah.
So hopefully, if there's any folks in the dispatch departments listening, don't want to be a Debbie Downer on such a positive technology, but there's
well, what you could do is to stop the crime is you could just say, F it. Let's put a flashbang on it and just kind of like pop, you know, like just stop everybody, give them a concussion. I mean, you're going to be hurting the victim too, but at least they're not dead, you know?
Yeah. And so, speaking of not dead victims, final story here. And I had to look at this a couple of times because I was like, what am I reading? But, deputies make a quick arrest of a man they say stabbed a sleeping woman. And where are we? Fort Myers. We're in Fort Myers. This was a story just came out day of recording.
Is this Florida? Fort Myers.
This is Lee County, Florida. And so you can see Florida. Thermal video or a thermal picture from the drone here. Lee County, office drone video, photo here. But what happened is, a Tice woman's house. So deputies found a man they believe broke into a Tice woman's house. And I was like, what is a Tice woman? Why are they like, what is this, a spelling area? And I think Tice is the town. Tice is the area, the location. So this person breaks into a woman's house in the evening and stabs and hits her while she is sleeping.
Just for no reason?
I didn't get that far into it, but the deputies found the woman with multiple stab wounds and began treating her while their drone unit and deputies began to search the area for the assailant. So the drone operator, Justin McDonald, huge shout out to Justin McDonald, located the suspect one street away with the weapon that he used. And it sounds like this person, Lanza, broke into the victim's home, hitting and stabbing her, also hit another person. They say that the victim and the suspect know each other. They don't say how they know each other. Lanza was charged with burglary, battery, and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon.
This is just a weird story. Just overall, it's just kind of like so much up in the air. They live on New York Street. They live in Fort Myers, Florida, on New York Street. Tice woman. Tice is a street in that area. I looked it up. What does Tice mean?
Yeah, that was the strange part. But it's interesting here because, like, they say that she knew the woman, that this person maybe lived there, but he shouldn't have been living there. Is there a restraining order? Because why would they have stabbed him and then you find them not so far away? and the amount of time that it would have taken the police, the deputies to get there at that hour. But what's amazing is, again, someone doing this, it's not like they had means and they had something better to do, somewhere to be. They were in someone's house at night stabbing them. So where, like, couldn't you have been anywhere else? The only thing I can think of is like, well, this was my house. I got kicked out. There's, you know,
well, this is gonna be like, definitely it's definitely domestic, premeditated.
Yeah, domestic type of a situation. So you stab the person, and then where do you go? You hide in nearby,
one street away.
Yeah, you hunker down, and you don't think that they're gonna have a thermal drone. And so
this dude doesn't look too smart. So just that's all I'm saying.
Again, shout out to the deputies and for the
good job
for the office, for that office, for having the technology readily available and then using it, not just showing up and treating them, but saying, you know what? Hey, maybe this person did live here and maybe they're not going to go that far away. Let's throw this drone up. Let's not be lazy. Let's put this drone in the air and let's use it the way it was intended to. And for them to then locate the person, that's awesome. So again,
well,
huge, huge shout out to Justin McDonald with Lee County Sheriff's Office.
I think it's going to be useful. Let's see. Isn't there like a statistic that like 40% of serial killers will always like return to the crime scene, like while the police are there, to just like, if it's like a public thing?
Yeah, like killer stuff. Throw like, I don't know the percentage, but
everybody,
they try to like inject themselves into like an interview or the background nearby. But they say something to a detective.
Yeah, get a drone up in the air. Just record everybody. You know, you're going to have video evidence who was there or whoever was there. I don't know. I feel like if I commit a crime, I'm probably not going to be taking an interview right after. That's not, they're probably in their mind, they're like thinking it's going to be like, this is a good cover story, you know. I got interviewed.
You don't want to get interviewed. I can see you right now, Terry. Like, you go and you watch the drone show from the parking lot. And then the news is there, like, talking to people. Like, what did you think about it? And you're, like, getting interviewed. You're like, oh, it was epic. It was so cool. Yeah, like, you can just show up to these things. It's so cool because drone shows, you don't have to pay for tickets.
Yeah, look, guys, it's in the sky. I mean, if you're just here for the drone show, just kind of sit in the parking lot, guys. I mean, what are you going to arrest me for, pirating the air?
Oh, you have to look at that video, though. If you type in Pinehurst drone show, the kid's standing in like the dark, just yeah, sneaking in the drone show. So you know what? That actually brings up a good point, Terry. You could probably just save the $20 and just drive to Winston-Salem. And just,
I mean, it's just 20, but well, that's a stadium. It's going to be harder. You can't like,
I don't know. I think it goes high, man. Like, you know, like 200 feet. So, man, it got me thinking maybe now I can just like
scam,
hold the kid outside the stadium, just put him on my shoulders. Can you see the top of it? Oh man. Well, again, don't take any investment advice from Terry or I. Please. We're not responsible. But for interest's sake, you know, check out Unusual Machines. Look at Red Cat Holdings. Just look at, just to see, because like we talked about these companies, you know, recently, and something that I didn't totally foresee is, but will happen is, again, if DJI is not an allowed available product to anyone in the US, someone has to fill that gap. Mm-hmm. And you got Skydio, but they're not a public company. They're valued at $1 billion and they're not a public company. They just brought in another $200+ million. But they're not selling any drones. Here you've got Unusual Machines acquiring companies that are selling stuff that's just not one uniform thing yet. So if they can bring that in with some uniformity into some products, that'd be pretty exciting. But Yeah, looked at DRL Racing. If you're in that Florida, Miami area, cheap tickets, $12, cheaper than a drone light show. So mm-hmm. drone racing is less expensive than a drone light show. And if you're in a vehicle for a new Jeep, you know, if you hold out for 5, 8, 10, who knows how many years, you might be able to get it with a drone inside. Public safety folks, check out the public safety drone review. It'll be December 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern. That's a live event. You can search that. We'll have the link in the description. Light show in Pinehurst is pretty epic. 200 drones, definitely worth it. If there's a light show nearby you, no matter what part of the country or world you're in, I highly recommend you check it out. Terry, got to get to Winston-Salem. And then again, Redmond police getting that waiver to operate, you know, DFR, beyond visual line of sight, using the Brink drone. It looks like the responder drone that we've talked about previously on the podcast. Red and blue flashing lights. They made it look like a real, you know, UK police car, which is neat. It's different. It's not orange. It's not black. Mm-hmm. It's a little black, a little white, a little red, a little blue. And then Lee County Sheriff's. Great job, Justin McDonald with Lee County Sheriff's Office, putting the drone up and finding the bad guy. So great work folks are doing operating these drones. And if you have any questions, comments, always reach out. Put something in the YouTube comment section there if you listen to us on a podcast and don't want to leave comments. We appreciate you listening anyway, and hopefully you gained some valuable information and insight in this episode. Terry, it was a pleasure, as always, recording this episode with you. Hope you enjoy that new TV you got.
Yes, sir. It'll be here Saturday.
Oh, you don't even have it yet?
Nope.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm kind of, it's arrived just for the UFC. Like, it will be there just in time for the UFC event, so.
Oh, there you go. And I already purchased it, so I saved my $10. I did save my $10.
For what? The
$10? UFC 310.
Oh, yeah, I need to do that, don't I? It's probably already done.
Damn. No, you actually, you have till either the midnight tonight or midnight tomorrow. So if you haven't done it, just do it now. Otherwise, you'll forget.
I will. $10. I mean, I'm paying for that event anyway.
So. You know you're going to buy it, so you'll feel so stupid if you don't. I know I do, but.
I got signed stuff from Pantoja. I need to give you one of those. So, I have a signed poster from Pantoja. I'll give you one.
Oh, right on. Appreciate it. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll chat with everybody next week. Fly safe.
Plus, sir.